Welcome back, everybody. It is the final night of Championship Week Video Notebooks. Day 13 was just completed. We're not going to be doing a show tomorrow night, there, even though there's a handful of games left. But we survived. We made it somehow through all these 2 a.m. podcasts. I don't know how. I'm Chad Sherwood. That's John Salico. That's David Dorman. That's David Griggs. Locked in the Puppet Bunker.
Still, don't forget to let me on tomorrow.
I was going to say, on the bright side, at least we're not warping to 3 a.m. this year.
Yeah, true.
Warping to 3 a.m. Oh, yes. No, there's
yeah,
no,
we did that last week, I think, or yes, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, we did that last week.
Let's get let's start things off with the recap. Let me get the screen share up here. But, Sleeker, you're going to start off with a recap of what the Hoops HD Selection Committee did. Well, first we double-check Griggs is still the Puppet Bunker, correct?
No, well, yeah, you need to let me out of here.
He's still
you need to let me out of here.
He is still in there. Not until we have a national champion. Let's figure things out. Here we go. This is our board. Stelika, what happened tonight in our mock selection committee? Stelika, are you there?
Stelika's been muted, so we can't hear.
We lost Stelika. I'll start. This is a great show for our last show thing. I'll start here. As soon as he jumps back in, I'll let him take over. This is our board. What we started with was we voted in, I believe, two more teams. Was it two teams? Michigan State and Texas A&M? Maybe it was only one team. And then we had two contingency teams.
Can we start the show over?
Nah, let's just keep going. This is bad enough as it is. Anyhow, there it is. We had lots of contingency spots open based on what might be happening, and we lost all those contingency spots. Teams did not get in because of the craziest we're going to get to here. Sleeka, are you back?
Yes, it looks like the computer literally blew up in my face right here.
Yeah. All right, go ahead with it with our recap. I just kind of filled it for you for about 3 seconds, but you know it better than I do.
Well, basically, our first order of business was we wanted to vote in a couple of our couple, or at least fill out the final at-large spots, which, as you can see, for the teams in orange, we voted in Michigan State and Texas A&M based on spots that opened up in the Big Ten and the SEC. We also voted in Colorado and Indiana State, which was contingent on the ACC and the Pac-12, but as we'll get into later, absolute chaos erupted, and they are actually going to be among our first four teams out. Yeah. So once we got beyond that step, we basically built the remainder of our master seed list and did an initial scrub of said list.
Yep, and we have 72 teams on that master seed list. The reason why is there are four conferences still playing, which will only have one team in. We included both teams for those conferences. So as those conferences games go final, the loser gets eliminated, and by sometime before this, by the end of, I guess, after the American game ends tomorrow, that list will drop down to 68 all on its own.
Yeah.
That's that, though. Let's jump back over to the Puppet Bunker. And Griggs, while Stelika recapped what the mock committee did, you've got a recap of what the actual committee did, correct?
Yes. This is exclusive access. You can't really get anywhere else. Again, started off, the day got off to a good start. If you've been following us, you know they've been having problems with breakfast. Today they had Eggs Benedict, and it went off without a hitch. You know, all of the problems from the previous day, they had just sort of worked out. So that was over at 9:45. And from 10 to 11, the committee meets to go over the Hoops HD survival board. You know, they're always checking that. There is some confusion because a couple of members keep forgetting that the teams crossed off and in red are ineligible for selection. And didn't, like, from what I understand, that caused a lot of disruptions in the meeting. People kept wanting to vote in, you know, Weber State and all of these teams that had already been eliminated, crossed out. I don't know why, but Weber State, somebody was really pushing for them. But they got through the day. Then at 11, they decided to adjourn for an app. They'd been going at it hard for 2.5 hours, including breakfast. Yeah. And then, Chad, this is where things kind of got crazy. They met for their customary two-hour lunch break, and they had filet mignon and mashed potatoes. You've been commenting on all the seafood they've been eating. But a major, major disruption. A lot of people's steaks were not prepared the way they wanted. And you know, this was a very unexpected disruption, very unfortunate thing to happen the day before the selection show. And then you're going to have to fill in some of the things that happened here. The afternoon ice cream social, which was supposed to go from 2:30 to 4:30, was canceled because the NCAA staffers were concerned that they were not moving along fast enough. This obviously created a lot of distress, disarray. Some community members, understandably upset, said some threatened to go back home. They said this wasn't what they signed up for. And at 3:07, you got an urgent phone call. What happened?
Oh, well, right around 3:07, we were, I was just starting to get things ready, maybe for our mock committee meeting that we had tonight. And that where I got a call, and they told me about the problem with the filet mignon, the problem with the canceled ice cream, how distraught they were. And they wanted to know if I could do anything to help. And what I said, watch, what they said was they wanted all the green teams on the survival board, which are the ones that we leave up to them normally, to be changed to either blue, which is in, or red, which is out. They want us to do all the work for them, which we always say we leave them some work to do.
And I was in the puppet bunker, and I just thought it was an unusual request that they would want us to do all that.
Yeah, and
And
I told them no. I told them no. I told them we would not do it, that those green bubble teams are the decisions they have to make, not us.
And this did not go well, and you want to help, and I hate that their ice cream social got canceled. I mean, I understand. 4:07, our friend David Warlock, not knowing what else to do, reinstates the afternoon ice cream social. This helped alleviate some of the stress. For the, you know, they did that till about 4:20 to 5:30, and they had games on, and you know, some of the some of the members were kind of surprised. They were like, "Oh, I thought all that was over." So, you know, not realizing that some of the tournaments were going on, and then they had a 2-hour break for dinner, and then from 8:30 to 10, they began to resume their selections and seedings. And did you get yet another phone call
I
at
got a
this time?
voicemail. I got a voicemail message, but I
Okay,
was busy at our Hoops HD mock committee at that point.
yeah. So I mean, yeah, they couldn't reach us, and then at 10:30, the staffers were so distraught at how little has gotten done that for the 11th year in a row, they're considering canceling the NCAA tournament.
Hopefully they don't do it. They get things together tomorrow morning, maybe pull an all-nighter here. No more watching Andy Griffith. Come on, guys, we got
Right, yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. They broke to watch Andy Griffith. That was on
I think we should do a Sunday podcast now just to see what they're doing on Sunday afternoon.
Hopefully they're clear. Well, we'll know tomorrow, 6 p.m. when they announce the field. If there is a field announced, they figure things out. Let's jump to the games that we're playing. Let's jump to the court. Let's start things off in conference chaos, AKA the ACC. Dorman, would you believe it? NC
No.
State, 5 games in 5 days. Nobody was th th this team. They played crappily against Louisville back on Tuesday, and here they are, cut down the nets.
Absolute incredible run. Not in 5 games in 5 games in 5 days is absolute craziness. And I always feel when you go to overtime the day before, it's hard and it puts a harder burden on your team. They went through overtime last night after hitting a buzzer beater to send it to overtime, and they were in control against the Tar Heels basically all the whole game. They had a bad 5-minute stretch right before halftime. Carolina took the lead, I believe, by one at halftime. But then North Carolina State came out the second half and looked just like the first half. They got the lead up to 6 and 8. It stayed there the whole way, and they cruised down the stretch. They hit their free throws. They didn't turn the ball over, and Wolfpack Nation went berserk.
They're in the big dance. They're in the NCAA tournament, and somebody, according to our committee, I think it was Colorado, is not going to the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, wow.
Yeah, I think aside from the Georgia run through the SEC when they were the last place team and not only won that conference tournament, but won it in the midst of a tornado warning and having to restructure that whole thing, this was one of the more improbable accomplishments that we've ever seen during Championship Week.
I
This
should
was
also point out, we got a note from John Tytel where he said NC State won 5 games in 5 days. The Washington Wizards have not won 5 games in over a calendar year at home at the Capital One Arena.
Oh, cue the sad trombone. Yes.
It was. Let's go to something where conference where normalcy did hold. The UConn Huskies, not much trouble honestly with Marquette. 22-16 for Klingon in this game. They just rolled them, Stalika.
Well, this was very hard on the eyes in the first half, and as you may notice by my face, it literally caused me to go red. And the second half, we started to see a little bit normalcy, and as Chad alluded to, Klingon helped the Huskies to pull away, and that was basically probably going to put them at the number one overall seed compared to what else has been going on in conference tournaments.
And let's talk about one of the things that's going on in conference tournaments, Greg. We've been talking about how good Houston has looked in this Big 12 tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a blowout. They had a blowout, and they had another blowout today, but it was on the other side. How about the Cyclones?
That's really all you can say. It was one of the more impressive games that any team has played at any point all year. Just blew Houston off the court. If they can play like that, they can go to the Final Four. They can win it all.
This really shocked me. I mean, the fan support there for Iowa State was incredible in this building.
Yeah, it really was.
That might have been part of it, but I still think Houston is an incredible team. I still think Houston is a real good shot to win it all, but this was a bit of an eye-opener about this team today.
Yeah, it really was. And as good of a year as Iowa State has had, and they've had an excellent, excellent year, I was always a little bit questioning them because of the week out of conference schedule. And I know that they did well in conference, but today I'm starting to wonder, is this a team that actually has what it takes to just not go far in the tournament, but go all the way to the end?
Dorman, it was Pac-12 championship day. And just as we were saying, well, Colorado, they might be in, they could make it easy by just beating an Oregon team that was not going to be in. Here comes more chaos.
Buffalo Nation won't get much sleep tonight. Colorado could have ended the discussion, put themselves in the tournament, wouldn't have to worry about the committee, and they did not do it. The Oregon Ducks beat Arizona yesterday in the semis and then beat Colorado today. An incredible run. This is not one of Dana Altman's greatest teams. They struggled big time at many points during the year, but the younger guys, the sophomores and the juniors and a freshman, really stepped up today, hit some big shots down the stretch, knocked off the Buffaloes. The Oregon Ducks will be in the bracket tomorrow night.
They will. Another team that will be in the bracket, they were clearly on the bubble, despite what some people said heading into the championship game today. Stalika, New Mexico, they took care of their bubble problems.
Yeah, I think they weren't going to wait for, what is it, the ACC or the Pac-12 to go. And it's a good thing they did, because they basically kept San Diego State at arm's length for virtually the entire game. And I think there were only like 2 minutes of the entire tournament where the Lobos actually trailed. So this was like one of the rare bubble teams that did have a sense of urgency from the get-go.
Yeah, they really did, and this was impressive. I thought San Diego State was going to take care of them easily today. It was actually the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So,
this was four games in 4 days. Impressive. They beat Boise State, Colorado State, and San Diego State. Tough as can be. One of the toughest conference tournaments out there, I thought, going into the week, and they played awesome.
Yep, they deserve it, and I'm pretty certain we're going to see a six-bid Mountain West tomorrow. It'd be a complete shock if one of these other teams got left out. I guess Colorado State would be the most vulnerable, but I just don't see that happening. In the few other conference championships, a bunch of other conference championships, in fact, let's start things off in the morning, Griggs. Vermont got a game from Lowell, but they were just too much at the end, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Lowell battled. I think Lowell led at the half, it was close all the way throughout the second half, and it really wasn't until the last couple of minutes that Vermont kind of got control of this. The crowd was insane. I think that gave them a boost. The home court certainly helped them out, but it was an advantage that they had earned based on how they played throughout the season. Vermont back in the NCAA tournament and will once again be a tough team to beat in the round of 64.
3 years in a row, three-peat for Vermont. So congrats to the Catamounts. again. Surprising story here, Salika, out of the Big West, where Dan Munson had agreed to part ways with the school after the season ended. Well, it's still going.
Not over yet, yeah.
Well, he's basically making it a lot more difficult for them to hire their replacement. How dare he win the championship here against the Aggies of UC Davis?
Yeah, they had a heck of a game. They had two players with 25 points each year against Davis. I don't know that Long Beach is going to be much of a threat in the NCAA tournament, but congrats. They won and they're going.
Yeah. And
they get a shot at somebody.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Conference USA, Griggs, is a conference that had kind of blown up when we saw Liberty lose, we saw Sam Houston lose, we saw Louisiana Tech lose, and it was the only team left that any of us thought had a shot at winning Western Kentucky. UTEP had him on the ropes for a while this game, though.
Yeah, they did. Western Kentucky seemed to maintain a lead for most of it. UTEP did stay within arm's length and make sort of a run sort of close to the end, but the Toppers back in the NCAA tournament. It's been a minute. I'm trying to think of the last time they were there.
They've had a lot of good teams, but they just never could get over the hump.
Right. And I mean, they've had some real good teams, got real close to the bubble a couple times, but now they're back. They're looking 14, 15 seed range probably, but still a big moment for that program. This is a storied program. It's got a pretty rich history and a fan base, more than you might realize. So it's nice to see them back in it.
Yep. Dorman, Metro Atlantic Championship game. This was a hell of a game between St. Peter's and Fairfield. Came right down to the end.
Yeah, right down to the end. St. Peter's hit their free throws, but this went back and forth. Fairfield, who I liked coming in, St. Peter's just got him in the end. The Peacocks will be going dancing again. I was shocked. I did not have St. Peter's even making the finals, let alone going to win the whole thing. But they played great this week. They really work you on defense. They get in your face. They're well coached. I don't think they'll be much of a problem to a top seed next week, but congratulations, St. Peter's. You are in.
Well, we said they wouldn't be much of a problem last time they were in the tournament as a 15 seed. Hey, we're in the Sweet 16, next thing we knew.
They all the way to the Elite Eight.
Elite Eight, even, yes. It was Elite Eight run, yes.
Beat a team called Kentucky and another one called Purdue. So.
Yeah, now they had a different coach then. It's a very different team than that. But I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of talk about that run over the course of the next week.
I was going to say, what's crazy? Their old coach may not make it.
He's over at Seton Hall. They're squarely on the bubble. Yeah. Salika, the wagon wheel, the Mid-American Conference Championship game. And this may have been maybe the best game of the day, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
This was absolutely crazy if you saw how many times this game went back and forth. It looked like Kent State was going to hit the game winner with 5 seconds left, and then Rollins for Kent State, probably not realizing what the score was, accidentally fouled one of the Akron players, and Akron ends up hitting a pair of free throws to take the lead for good with, I think it was 4.7 seconds left. And even though Kent State was able to drive down the floor, they were not able to hit the winning bucket, and Akron inexplicably is able to pull off three straight wins in the wagon wheel to win the automatic bid.
Yeah, I kind of feel a little bad for Julius Rollins. Just, you know, obviously kind of lost track of where the game was, and but incredible run by Kent State. I think we got to give our hats off to them for what they did in this tournament, coming that close to winning this thing, and against a really good Akron team.
A really good Akron team. This is a big rivalry. This was an intense game all the way through, as you would expect it would be, because it's multi-layered. It's the automatic bid on the line between two big rivals, and Kent State played, you know, so well. Had they played all year long the way they played in this tournament, they would not have been an 8 seed.
Dorman, over in the MEAC championship game, we thought that Howard was going to roll in this game, but Delaware State kept in there the entire way.
Yeah, Howard pulled out to a nice lead early in the first half and looked like they were going to cruise, but Delaware State would not go away. I believe it was even tied with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. Howard ended up hitting a big shot with about a minute to go, and that was the big one. Delaware State, though, a fine run. They nothing to hang their heads for. But the Howard Bison, again, I believe they were in last year, too. Is that two in a row?
Two in
Bison,
a row.
Bison, go again. Two in a row.
Bison are dancing again. And how about a team, Griggs, that's dancing for the first time ever? The Grambling Tigers. Somebody found a way to finally beat Texas Southern in the SWAC tournament.
Yes. A big historic moment for Grambling. This has been a program that was the worst in Division One. Won the Centenary Award on multiple occasions. And this has been a long time coming. They've improved quite a bit. This year they got it. They did the double, finished first, and won the conference tournament. And that is great for them. It's great for their school. It's great for their program. It's just one of those things, Chad. Could you imagine what insane asylum would you have had me sent to if I had said 17 number one seeds or whatever it is are going to fail to win their conference tournament, but one of them that won't is Grambling? Would you have thought I was nuts because Grambling would have been a one seed or that they would have done the double?
Well, I believe it's actually 20.
It was 20. Yeah. Oh, wow. 20. So, yeah.
And there's a couple more left still, so we'll see.
Yeah. It's been conference tournament carnage.
Oh, maybe there aren't any more left, actually. But yeah. We're going to get back to one more championship game in a few minutes here, but let's take a look at some of the conferences that were in semifinals first. Dorman, let me start things off with the Big Ten, where what a game between Purdue and Wisconsin. This, you know, if that MAC championship game was not the game of the day, this one was just an amazing game.
Great game. It was tight the whole way. No one really could get a lead going. Wisconsin really played physical. They're, you could see the game plan was to just really rough up anyone with the ball. And they got in your face, Wisconsin, and they wouldn't back down. And Purdue really looked good at times, and they looked like they were about to take control of the game, and Wisconsin just wouldn't let them. I think Wisconsin looks really good now. I feel like they're coming back to their ways like they were about 8 weeks ago, besides before their plunge. Tomorrow they'll get the Illini, but for one day, and the Badgers looking really, really strong, knock off the one seed Purdue, and going to still be a one seed in the tournament, I believe, tomorrow night, Purdue. But the Badgers, physical, tough, and hit the shots. They really hit their threes so far this week in Minneapolis.
And I got to give a shout-out to Chucky Hepburn in this game. He not only hit the shot at the buzzer at the end of regulation that sent this game to overtime, he drew an offensive foul against Braden Smith that fouled Smith out at the very end of the overtime and set Wisconsin up, got the ball back to them, and set them up for the game-winning shot that Max Klesmit hit.
And he wasn't even healthy enough to play yesterday, which was crazy.
Well, that meant he was more rested, so and he felt like it. The second game, though, Stalika, Nebraska was up 15 points at one point in this game. We thought they were going to cruise. They were going to majorly cruise the championship, but then it went completely the other way in the second half.
Yeah, in this case, we had a 26-point swing here with the Illini winning by 11.
Yep, Terrence shattered 40 points for the Illini. What do you think, Stalika, about this Illinois-Wisconsin game tomorrow?
I don't think it's really going to matter as far as seeding goes. However, a Wisconsin win, though, would put them, like, certainly restore momentum that they had been losing after they had been hemorrhaging blood for about a month in the
Big Ten play. It's still a title. Who do you think wins it?
I'm probably going to go ahead and say Wisconsin does find a way to pull this out.
I think I'm with you. I think I'm on the Badgers with this one here. Griggs, it was semifinal day in the SEC. Where I guess in the first game, Auburn kind of kept Mississippi State at arm length the whole time. But we had another game where A&M was out with an 18-point lead over the Gators. And then came all the way back to a Gators 11-point lead towards the end of the game.
Yeah,
29-point swing of this one.
Yeah, a huge, huge momentum swing in this one. And one of the things about it is that it's sort of a microcosm of Florida's season. When they're good, they're really good. You don't you don't come from that far behind and dominate and build up a lead like that unless you're really good. But also, they're not always there. They did fall behind by that much in the first place. But A&M kind of sweating bullets. I think had they won this game, they'd be a lot more comfortable. The game tomorrow, perhaps it's for seeding a little bit. I don't think Auburn gets above or below a four. Perhaps their placement on the seed list changes, but does Florida move up if they win?
I think they could. I think our mock committee, I've already indicated that I intend to try to push for that. I think I actually already got that through, Dorman, who do you think wins this Auburn Florida game?
I'm going with the Gators. I like the momentum. I'm going with Florida. I think they're playing really good. Both teams are playing great, obviously. I'll go with the Gators.
And I think, Griggs, that you're absolutely right. A&M is going to be sweating a lot tomorrow. I think they're one of our last teams in right now. I think they were the last team that we ended up putting in on our mock committee. So
yeah.
Although that, I think we then voted Seton Hall down below them when we did some seating. But over in the American, wow. I don't even know what to say. Well, I guess first of all, you know, UAB, South Florida, we thought this game could go either way, and it was close, and UAB pulled away. But Stalika, what the hell happened in the FAU Temple game? Where the hell has this Temple team been all season?
I was going to say, Rage Against the Machine had a nice song called Bulls on Parade. Sadly, that parade is going to be canceled. But then you look at the nightcap of Owls v. Owls. This was probably even more inexplicable because FAU, it seems like, would get to a lead but never get comfortably ahead of Temple. And sure enough, here we are. Temple would not have even qualified for the conference tournament and some of the under-the-radar conferences, but thankfully here in the American, at least they're allowed to play and actually end up going to the title game.
They were almost eliminated in their first game against UTSA. This was one of the more shocking results of the day. And when you look at just how bad of a loss this was, Temple's net is in the 200s. I don't know how low, but
we think that this Temple team is a 16 seed even with a win, and that's for a name brand program. That's wild.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, FAU, this is not their first really really bad smelling loss, and
it's a third now. Yeah,
and I think they're in, but would it completely shock you if they got skipped over?
No, they'll be sweating tonight. They are going to be nervous, because they are right on the cut line. And we're talking about Florida Atlantic there.
At the very least, they should probably consider reservations for the Dayton Marriott.
Yeah, I was going to say, our mock committee has them in the first four right now. And so we'll see. They may get left out. Especially with the chaos that we've seen here. And the amazing moment here at the end of the game, FAU had a shot to win this. They couldn't even get a shot off. It wasn't good basketball. I mean, and that's a shame because
it's
seen us some really good wins.
Yeah, and kind of uncharacteristic of them. I mean, maybe not more so this year, but wow. I still think they're getting in, but wow.
Dorman. A-10 semifinal day, and we finally saw a day where there were not two upsets, but we saw a couple good games again.
Yeah, strong games, tight games, no crazy swings here. VCU handles St. Joe's, and the Bonnies go down to Duquesne, setting up a championship tomorrow in Brooklyn. VCU versus Duquesne, I think the stronger opponent to go to the tournament and make and get a win would be VCU. I just think their style is tougher to play against than Duquesne. But I thought Duquesne coming into the season had a good team. They really didn't live up to the expectation. But I think you'll have a real entertaining final here tomorrow on the 8-10.
Do you think Duquesne could do it, get their first bid since 1977?
And I'm going to go with the VCU Rams.
That was my pick before the tournament started, Griggs.
Yes, it was.
Well, my pick before the season started was Duquesne.
But I could easily see a player like Dede Grant for the Dukes taking over in this one, and it would not shock me to see Duquesne actually end up pulling off an upset here in what has been a probably outside of the ACC the most wide open conference tournament.
Dede Grant at 27 today. Yeah. This is probably why I put the one we just looked at too, the UAB Temple of the Americans. So, one more conference that was in semifinal round day today, Griggs. It was semifinals in the Ivy League, and exactly what I told you was going to happen last night. None of you believe me.
I called Yale winning. I was half right.
I'll tell you, Brown was up huge in this game, and Princeton really made a comeback. But when you fall down by over 20 points, it's so hard to come all the way back, and they just couldn't do it. And then we almost saw Cornell do the same thing. They really tried to put a big comeback on against Yale as well.
They were down by close to 20 and came back and actually had a chance to win it. So,
Little shout. Brad had three players with double doubles in this game. Three of them. That was wild. Just in terms of of the stats here. But Dorman, what do you think? Brown versus Yale for the championship. Can Brown pull one more upset? They just won at Yale to end the regular season.
I think they can, and I think they will. Our good friend Rocco Miller got me onto this Brown team about 2 weeks ago. He said they were really a talented squad. They had some rough games during conference play, but he said down the stretch they were playing really good, including a victory against Yale. I think they will do it. I think Brown goes dancing for the first time in a long time.
That is all but one more game that was played today that we do not yet have the final score on the screen, but a little
There's
bit of
been a
dust up
bit of
go.
an incident at the end of this game that we're
Not
watching.
really. It's
Grant,
just
yeah.
a little
Crazy.
pushing and shoving, but Grand Canyon has beaten you Texas Arlington. There's about 2 seconds left in the game as we record it, but they're up 12. The Lopes are back, going back to the NCAA tournament again. A strong game. Tying Grant Foster with 22 points and 9 rebounds in this game. But Griggs, Arlington hung around for a while in this game. They just couldn't quite put him away.
I mean, it felt like it was between 7 and 10 points for most of the game. It never felt like Grand Canyon was not in control. And they're going to end up with the win. So, good for them back into the NCAA tournament. A really fantastic season. And this is a dangerous team in the round of 64, and they could get pretty far up the seed line considering all the carnage that we've seen from some of the other tournaments. So.
Yeah, this is going to be a super dangerous team in the NCAA tournament. And that was the reason we pushed off that game, because we were waiting for it to go final. Like I said, had quite good final, but 3 seconds left, they're up by 12. It's over.
And
That
coaches are
concludes.
shaking hands. They're, I guess, trying to figure out how to manage what happened at the end here.
Well, Grand Canyon was on a fast. They're up 10, and the game is basically over. One of the players on Grand Canyon decides to go for a windmill jam. He does, and he does it. And he took a real hard hit after the dunk by one of the Arlington players. Really, a cheap shot. And then Arlington decides to chuck the ball at this same guy. And we had almost close to a melee. And I think the coaches are shaking hands because I don't know if they're going to want the players to get in a line and have anything else happen here. So I think the coaches are saying good game. Everyone's under control, I think, now. But there are 3 seconds, and it's really been held up here.
Okay, but again, the Lopes do win. The Lopes are your WAC champion. Congrats to them. Let's jump over to our Hoops HD survival board. Heading into the day today, there were 98 teams left with a chance to win it all. As a result of today's action, let's see what happened. Down to 88, actually. In 3 seconds, we'll be down to 87. 87 teams left heading into the final day. There are, I believe, three more teams that will come off this board tomorrow. The losers in the Ivy League, in the American, and in the Atlantic 10 will come off. So the final count will be 85 for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee to make their decisions about. That's a lot of work. They got to get from 85 to 68, Griggs. But these are the blue, green, and red teams we were talking about on the recap, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about earlier at the recap. See, the blue are in, the green are to be considered. That was where the rub was, and then the red and the crossed out, they're just out.
Yeah, well, the red was also where like we see down here in the big sky, Weber State was, where they had that big debate. They wanted to put Weber State in, but they were crossed
Yeah,
out.
right, yeah.
And they wanted me, they told me they wanted us to make the decisions about Providence and St. John's and Seton Hall, Villanova. We're not going to do that, though.
Right, we're
You've got
not.
to
We're going
listen
to
to
make
us.
them do it, yeah.
Yeah. They've got to do a little bit of work here. You know, I want to do one other thing tonight. Since this is our last show of the championship week, I thought it'd be a good time to take one final look now that all the conference games are done at a few other auto bids that are going to be given out
Oh,
in our
okay,
mythical conferences.
yeah.
So I did want to start by congratulating Colorado State. They are our front range champion. They don't have anything to worry about there in the NCAA tournament, correct?
No, not at all, because they get the auto bid.
Right. Over in the Beehive Conference, Utah and Utah State looks like they both tied. Both were undefeated. I think Utah State may get this auto bid, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a coin flip tiebreaker. Utah State gets it.
Okay. I thought it was an arm wrestling contest, but.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, maybe it was that. Yeah.
The Backrange Conference is Arizona. They win. They actually tied with New Mexico and with Grand Canyon, all undefeated. Guess what?
Yeah. Auto bids.
All three are going. All
three.
Are going.
Yeah.
UTEP could
and
have
in
gone
the
as
case
well.
Of UTEP, close but no cigar.
Yeah.
And in the top, our newest conference is here, the top range. Congrats to Washington State.
Wazoo getting the
They
auto
get the
bid.
auto
yeah.
bid. They're
Wow.
going to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
As we've said all season,
And all
the
these teams in
champions of
blue.
these
Yeah.
leagues all get to go to the NCAA tournament. And we just showed you that that is the truth.
Yeah.
Let's jump back over here and move to our top 10. Top 10 things to see at college basketball games. We've been counting these down, and we are going to see who our champion is tonight. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. This little recap here.
Yeah, just
our honorable mentions: the Hornet's Nest Trophy. Gotta
yes.
go to game and see this. The Kennesaw Banana.
Yeah.
Keggy the Keg.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah.
The wonderful Crooked Sidelines at the Cross Center up in Bangor, Maine. Then got into our top 10 with the Detroit Book Guy.
Yeah.
The one and only Rocco Miller.
Yes. He is the one and only, although he manages to be eight places at once.
Red Panda, our favorite, one of our favorite halftime shows. We'll get the other one here in a second.
Right.
And Caleb and Andre.
These guys are great. I don't know why these guys weren't higher, actually.
I found a little bit of a different audio for us for tonight. I found, because there's tons of it out there. I want to play a little bit different audio from them for tonight.
Okay,
just take a second.
All right,
yeah.
Caleb. What do you think the Hornets coach is telling his team?
Give it a second
man,
here.
Look, if y'all don't play right, y'all not eating tonight. We not stopping at McDonald's.
Long drive.
Long drive back. And it's going to be a long drive back. The devil's going to win this.
Long, quiet drive.
Long, quiet drive. Ain't nobody talking. Turn them phones in. Turn them phones in.
Turn them phones in. Say their prayer.
Say their prayer.
Everybody go to sleep. Right all the way back to Montgomery, Alabama. No talk. Be quiet.
Oh, they are the best. Caleb and Andre, no McDonald's for you.
I heard they're doing the games at the Final Four, though.
Oh, are they? They should.
Yeah, they got the job.
Refs watching TV came in at number six.
Yeah, we saw plenty of that this week.
At number five, oh, we got to play the video one last time.
Hopefully this is the last time.
Yes, the Louisville dog.
Yeah. Still looking for a coach.
Deuces are wild.
At number four, we saw the great big floor squat, big sky floor sweepers.
Yes, the big sky. Since leaving Pluto TV, we just haven't seen them anymore.
At number three, that giant Conference USA.
Yes.
With one of the great artifacts.
Great.
And last night at number two. That thing.
Oh, that thing Seattle. In Seattle that we learned was 14,000 years old, predating the entire geographic area.
Well, here it is. We've been waiting 2 weeks for it. The number one thing to see at a college basketball game, according to our Hoops HD polls. We need a drum roll. Can't leave it Andre again.
The Mississippi Fat Delta Devils are currently on a one-game winning streak. The game, the Prairie Panthers were 5-10 and 16, 5-10 in the swag. The Mississippi Fat Delta Devils will improve to 1-27.
What a
swag. Let's go!
Win led by no one other than Raekwon Brown.
Raekwon Brown, why thank you, my guy.
Host of Delta Devils and Double Feeders tonight, and everyone just contributed to this win. And
big shout out AD Hakeem McClellan. Big shout out Kyle, Rabbit Pay Productions. Big shout out to B Club. Shout out to JR behind the camera. Shout out to everybody who's a part of this production company. Shout out to Andre Williams, my partner, my business partner.
Big shout out to Caleb.
Big shout out to Coach Ivory. Big shout out to the Swag. Big shout out MVSU B Club. Valley Sports Network. Until next time, baby. Man, we love you, baby.
It's a lot of shout outs.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Let's pull this down. Congrats to Caleb and Andre. Final thoughts, Mr. Sleeka.
We've probably spent the better part of 2 weeks building up to building the 2024 NCAA tournament bracket, but here at Hoops HD, I'm also looking forward to seeing what surprises Chad has in store for the 2024 AC8 field. I'm pretty sure two of those teams are going to be, but trying to figure out the other seven coveted spotters, however many spots end up opening up, I'll be curious to see the unveiling of that tournament on Monday.
A little tease there, but we will be back. Before I go to the rest of your final thoughts because of that tease, we will be back Monday night with a Hoops HD report where we're going to be previewing the whole Tyrant Assembly tournament and revealing the AC8 bracket for this year. Dorman, you're next.
Because I know no one wants to go to bed before they know who I believe will be going, getting the last four spots. I believe Colorado, TCU, FAU, and St. John's all squeak in and get a trip to Dayton. My favorite Indiana Sycamores are just going to miss out, I believe. There was just too much carnage and chaos today. I think their spot got knocked out, which is unfortunate as the Missouri Valley guy. But we should have great games tomorrow and a wonderful bracket. Can't wait.
I agree. I agree about Indiana State, too. It's a shame, but I think too much carnage is right. Griggs, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, there was a lot of carnage, more than we could possibly, like more than I could ever remember. You mentioned at the beginning that there were as many as 7 or 8 contingency teams that we had ready to go. Normally, you figure you're going to lose 1 or 2 of them. We lost all but 2 of them. And it wouldn't shock me at all if we saw the first 4 games or the play-in games on the 10 line this year because of all the carnage.
That's one thing we did not mention. In fact, in our mock committee, we've got one of those games on the 10 line, and I don't think it's ever been on the 10 line before. On that note, though, on behalf of David Dorman, John Sleeka, and David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us for all these shows. We will be back again, like I said, Monday night with our Hoops HD report, NCAA tournament preview show. Talk to you again real soon.